feeling the issue of assessment at the department. And we are still continuously, as you are requesting to say, in other three provinces.
This is the city, and this is our country as well. And sorry, would you also be 90%
shot down to see that you
can get you? One, we start with 90 members. Okay, just take us through that long, please, quickly. This is 90. Any comments I gather from the NCO? Right. Any other comments, questions for members? Okay, while members are mulling over, can I raise a few quick questions? One is, does it speak correctly? I think it does. 90 is up to each cabinet member that first is subject to only several members. What's that mean?
Currently, one of the responsibilities of the police, if we arrest the child, we must find the family.
Yes.
I think one of the issues that we raised in the discussions between the department is the possibility of assistance with that from social development, because it's not always possible for the police to trace the family. I think that was a matter that we wanted to discuss. We didn't necessarily want to include it in the wording of the bill, but to make provision for that so that we could work together as a department on family finding.
Gardening. That was the
in the case of
the
yeah.
Yeah.
Lolly is not well, and she works so hard. We unanimously ask her to please go home. Anybody opposed to it? Nah, you know, yeah, anyway. Can you please go home? Then you're not well. And she's giving out the budget, is that right? Yeah. Yeah. This is the budget. Now, those who are not here, we'll have to thank you. When we come back, we're looking at the department's budget. I don't know if you'll come or not, but it's on the 6th and 7th. Okay. Now, what else is 95, my friend
Lawrence? 95,
7,
chair.
Yeah.
Page 1
is
the
page
64. Yeah. Sorry, chair. Just confirming with DSD, that clause that we were just 92. Talking about here, education will be responsible for the education within the child and youth care centre, but the centre itself will fall under justice. Social development. So it's the department responsible for the centre that will determine whether the child can stay on. If the child does stay on, education will be obliged to give them the education. But it will then have to change so it's the minister responsible for social development. I agree with that, but the last line says to continue to reside. Now, it won't be the decision of education as to who resides there, because education won't be responsible for the facility.
Then they won't sit next to each other, so you can get poisoned. Now, where are we going? Sorry? Who's the lawyer? You are. Yeah. Who's my lawyer president? Well, Lolly's my lawyer. Lolly's my loyal lawyer. I want to go home, please, but. Sorry? Wi-Fi, what? Lolly, I can't survive without you, Lolly. I know you think I can't, but I can't. Okay, next point.
That clause 95.7 on page 64 requires.
You don't want to do anything down your back, okay? I will brief you whatsoever. 95.7, yes?
It requires the Minister of Social Development to create a policy framework to develop capacity within all levels of government, NGO sectors, civil society, develop and establish a program specifically suited to the needs of children below 10 and 10 to 14 years old, irrespective of their capacity, have not been approved, and to ensure that these programs are credited in terms of your system for that we discussed. It also requires, I don't know why I returned your phone. But it does. It's just a shame. Yeah, we got the same one too. Okay, I was hoping you would teach me how to use this out loud. I'll give you a lesson. Okay. So it's back with the minister that has to do all that.
I'll have to carry out the people, but let's carry on. Lawrence is so am I.
I'm not kidding.
You can't be born. You can go with this little thing. Why would the little one be? Anyway, it's my last term, so, I'm very hard for that. What can anybody do to me?
Right,
let's go on.
Paragraph B of subclause 7 requires that the DG of social development to keep a register.
Well, that's really straightforward.
And then it sets out what the register must contain, and access to the register must be limited. And that will be the details of that will be in regulation. For the purposes of clause 31, the DG social development must from time to time provide the DG adjustment with information relating to
amenities and Do you want to say anything about those clauses, Connie? Because they're fairly straightforward.
I think they are pretty straightforward.
Okay. Well, if you have to take a flight, we wish you well. And we hope never to see you again. Not because you don't like
you.
Not because we don't like you, but because we think that it means if we don't see you, the issues are resolved. And if we made a mess of it, well, so be it. When I say mess of it, I mean we, that's just you and us. Okay, anything else you want to say, Connie, your State of Nation Party address? No State of Nation Party address.
Sir, do you still want our signed copy by the minister?
Yeah, we just like that. And I'm going to keep it to myself. So when people start attacking me 3 years from now, I just release it. Hey, and maybe it's trouble. Now, the thing is, we just like it because it means official. But can we thank you profusely and your colleagues who are here from DSP for your kindness and for your cooperation and also for your willingness to deal with the co-chairperson's idiosyncrasies here, John Jeffrey. But on his behalf, I apologize.
And I apologize on behalf
of the No, she knows I'm mad.
It's very difficult to deal with.
She doesn't have that, so she doesn't have to.
Maybe with his testament.
Okay, so you can say if you like, but thank you very much. Look, we most certainly won't call you back unless something dramatic happens. But I can't see that happening. Thank you very much for your visit.
Just on that, though, I mean, I think they will still be attending when we go through the amendments. They would still be attending.
That'd be helpful. Yeah, but that's easier to help.
Not being called back doesn't mean.
But what we will do, by the way, let me stress, is we're going to have a very small committee. You know, about two or three members, each one is non-negotiable, and one or two of us, we sit and zip them. And we bring touches in, hopefully you'll know nothing that's going on. You won't say a word. And JJ and I will care so that we'll be faster on that day. There's a good thing about JJ and me, each of us tries to prove to the other.
that we fast as opposed to legislation. So that's a short test that we're pretty sticking. That's a good one. So we ended up in Kenton together, so that's why the first thing he did is kick Carl by shoulders. He said, "Yelit, why didn't you tell me that Tea Party's politics were new to this?" So he was crying all the time. And I had to attend to him, and I had to read to him at night. I had to read sections of the Bible, me, an atheist dropout, to put him to sleep, and he's of Jewish extraction. There you are. Anybody who has one, those of you who would rather hear our stories about Peter than go through sections, whatever it is on the floor. Sorry, Bulalani. Obviously, for those of you who don't know better, especially PNG, where are you, PNG, Master? Oh, you know me too well. That's nonsensical. Actually, he was heroic. Can you record that? And the first day, he just tore the floor. And he purposed. And we tried to restrain it because all right, let's go on. Where are we? But would you like something to say first? Some points will we make, some questions to survive, and we wait. Oh, you expound it.
And during the freedom of the empire, and it provides that a child may appoint a legal representative of his or her own choice at his or her own expense to represent the child during the assessment or during the freedom of the empire if the magistrate or the probation officer consents to that.
Okay, we've jumped to that 82, but we can just as well deal with it now that someone's done with your permission.
This is the book, the 81 is a comment about the child of his giving, I think he's taken his substance, that's right. He's allowed to give it to him.
Just 81, the heading is that family should be comprised by a bigger representative. And it provides about 4 or 5 without delay and be dealt with in a manner to ensure that the best interests of the child are paramount at all times. Must also uphold the highest standard of ethical behavior and professional conduct. Some clauses with a situation where the presiding officer is of the opinion that the legal representative didn't act in accordance with the above requirements, and the presiding officer must record this and in a manner that will show will include taking an appropriate corrective action or give a sanction, including an adverse order relating to the fee charged by the legal representative.
It's not necessarily correct. I mean,
we should visit the Department of Research. We go ahead and
we said in our comments that we could put it into another appropriate legislation.
That's right.
We might as well just put it in here if the committee feels
that way. Can we agree? Okay, let's move on then. Number 292 is straightforward. What is that 82? Basically, Slot Nelson there says, can you quickly, Jackie, you're more familiar to it, what she says that.
It was about excluding whether or not to exclude the legal representatives.
It was about whether or not to exclude legal representatives at the preliminary inquiry because of the time constraint with the preliminary inquiry, having such strict time constraints as to when it had to happen. And they were concerned that legal aid decisions might delay those proceedings. But I think that the committee's already made the decision to ensure that legal representatives are at the preliminary inquiry. And she also agrees with that, in that she says that the situation no longer exists because there has been a greater expansion and streamlining of the legal aid system from the time that the Law Commission did their investigation until today.
Isn't it dependent on the resources of the Legal Aid Board and there was
Legal representative is not there.
I think the difficulty for me is these preliminary inquiries are going to be the new. Lawyers can lengthen procedures. This is inquisitorial. They can lengthen proceedings, particularly run up costs, whether they're private or whether they are state. And I'm a bit nervous or uncomfortable with that. Now, the way it's phrased at the moment, where you can only have a lawyer if you pay for it yourself, I think is wrong. I mean, that's an only advantage. But it's a question of whether you should have legal representation for the inquiry, is my concern. Obviously, if you allow it, I don't think you make it must, I think you make it may. But if you allow it, you've got to then allow it for all. But it's a question of should you allow it.
My argument is that the case is going to be the same argument as the time. I err on the side of caution always. I don't think there's any harm in that. I buy the argument of it being formalized in which it's in the
Why do you think there should be?
I do think that it should be open. I don't think we must make it a must, because then it's going to cause huge problems. I can tell you that now. But I do think that in certain circumstances, particularly if you're making decisions as to the placement of the child, which is what the preliminary inquiry is going to do, it might be important if perhaps the prosecution is looking to detain the child in prison, that a legal representative is able to, if there's a good argument to be made for the child not to be detained in prison, that the legal representative can assist the child in that state.
Let's remember here that this is a first-court appearance. And in 45, it does say that the inquiry magistrate may approve the detainment of any other person that
if someone comes to you and says, I'm going to appear in court and I want to, you're going to have a constitutional right to then have. I'm not saying you must use it. I don't know, from the practical perspective, what I'm seeing in my role with the preliminary inquiry is that where we've had personality trained on these principles, for us to
might be a conflict between that probation officer and the lawyer.
Yeah.
And the
anybody else have to say anything? Why do the gentlemen see us equally responsible as well? Everybody thinks that. I don't like to be talking so quiet, but you only do.
Maybe can we ask for the partners? Sorry.
Yeah, Lisa? You have a beautiful. You don't have to have a beautiful. You have.
I'd ask the department, why do you want to give the probation officer and the fiery magistrate the power to refuse the
arrest?
Not the reason, because only certain people are allowed to be in the systems of those subjects, therefore they would, you have to add legal representatives.
But it's like a
qualification level, it's not traditional legal, because they might say no, so no, and then that lawyer has to take that decision on review to prove it hasn't been properly adjudicated.
Is it being suggested then that we amend that section 45.4 to include legal representatives, and we also amend it?
If we go with those names. I think everybody's agreed that
Commission, they also commented that we have a decision should not be a prerequisite during the assessment or during the consumer inquiry because they may diagnose the
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's not a prerequisite if everybody agreed on that. It's a question of whether they may be there if they want to be there. And the problem in the case that Shireen is talking about is you have a private lawyer who may be running out with fees for the hours. They are disruptive in the inquiry. But if you give the magistrate the power to keep them out, they're going to be very excited because that's going to then be review applications for more people. So, is there any point?
Then you've got anyone who decides on the mechanics to pay your court.
So, would it not be then, and I don't know, I had the Jackie hooking. I mean, so I think it would be the. On 82, the full stop would come in for preliminary inquiry full stop. Okay, and then if the probation officer and the magistrate, that falls are out. Okay? Am I correctly representing?
There's just another issue. I thought that, the thing still says as a statement or in the preliminary, I thought we had reached that statement. We were not going to have it. That it was only a preliminary inquiry when you may have, but not in a
Will it take into account the issue of legal aid, but nothing, if we have it, there's nothing that can constitute the child from being represented by a legal representative at a preliminary inquiry, or that control. So we take out of his or her own choice, because you can't have that in his legal aid, and we take out of his or her expense, because we are aligned to legal aid. So that's all.
There's nothing in the text. The charge of being represented by legal representatives to test preliminary inquiry.
Okay.
Everyone then needs to amend 29 to the end.
We will have
to add legal representatives.
No,
well, 39 is the assessment that counts. Okay, it would only be 45 full, which is, would be to include a
B. This effectively means that children who are aged 16 and 17 years are the only age cohort, whether children or adults, that are going to potentially not be entitled to legal representation at state expense. Because now I know the Legal Aid Act allows everyone to have legal representation at their own expense. But what this clause essentially is saying to presiding officers that you mustn't refer the child to the legal aid board if you're not 16 and 17 and you're in detention in prison. I stand to be corrected, but that's my reading of it. Secondly, in terms of 83.1c, you're talking about, and I suspect this might be an error, you're talking about a sentence to a residential facility and not to imprisonment. So basically, you're also excluding children where there is a sentence contemplated of imprisonment from the possibility of being referred to legal aid board. Effectively, what this means in practice is that for adults, what happens in court is that if any accused says, yes, I want a legal representative, I can't afford one, the magistrate will usually facilitate the legal aid officer making an application for legal aid on behalf of that person. But in this respect, you're literally excluding 16 and 17-year-olds if they're in detention, and hopefully if the mistake in terms of 77, it should be 78.
Thanks, Jay. Yes, that is indeed, it should be 78. That's just a little bit aware of background. The Legal Aid Act was amended in 1996 to try and give effect to what the Constitution required of regarding legal representation in criminal matters. And Section 3B provides as follows: before a court in criminal proceedings directs that a person be provided with legal representation at state expense, the court shall take into account the personal circumstances of the accused, the nature and gravity of the charge, whether any other legal representation at state expense is available or has been provided, any other factors which should take into account, and refer the matter to the legal aid board, and the legal aid board must then decide whether the person qualifies for legal aid in terms of the legal aid guide that it means. So that is our starting point with legal aid. In any matter, the court takes various factors into consideration, and then deems it necessary to refer them to the legal aid board. What we're doing here is to say and perhaps I should have just started off with the constitutional provision. Every accused person has the right to a fair trial, which includes the right to have a legal practitioner assigned to the accused person by the state, and if the state extends its substantial injustice would otherwise be lost. Clause 83 now tries to categorize substantial injustice, and it identifies these categories. The child is below the age of 14 years old, the child is below the age of 16, as in intention. In a prison board, it is likely that a sentence of imprisonment would be imposed. And let me go back, give you a bit of further background information. In 2003, I think some of the committee members that are not here will probably remember that, pursuant to the Stein judgment in the Constitutional Court, the appeal provisions were amended, Section 309 and 316, and that's where these age categories first came in. This is not new, what I'm trying to say. It was thought that these categories, there would be particular, that these categories of children were particularly vulnerable, and that they must, the presiding officer must refer these matters to the Legal Aid Board in terms of it, considered in terms of the Legal Aid Act. That's in addition to the presiding officer's general discretion to refer a matter to a Legal Aid Board for consideration. So I just want to give that bit of background. There's something else that I wanted to mention, I can't remember. Appeals, but when this committee amended the appeal provisions, then and we were going on to the appeal provisions just now.
No, it didn't
say anything about categories, but that this committee developed those categories.
What did the Legal Aid Board say on legal representation?
That's what I forgot to say. I think the Legal Aid, the question was asked whether these provisions would help me.
Shireen, you're not listening. We're not represented by legal representatives. Okay, sure. Okay, you should know that you're meant to have read this act backwards. I'm the one who needs to keep saying. But so basically, we then will delete everything after and the A, B, and C. Okay, let's move on then. Sub 2, was there anything? Entry 2? Okay. 84, Department.
what is the situation where it tries to make those ways we have to representation in certain circumstances. I must say that the job also relies on the categories that were listed in clause 83. Then it, we may have to affect the Sprinter's Amendment. And it provides that where it tries to refer to in clause 83, may not waive or refuse legal representation. If the client declines or does not give instruction to a legal representation, the court must record this, and a legal representation must, subject to the provisions of the legal aid board, be appointed to assist the client in terms of the rules of the court.
Yeah. And just before we even start on that, I wonder if the rules of the court, perhaps we can do it by way of regulations rather than
okay, comments on that. The one problem is that if you go away with the categories under 83, then it's good if I'm going to apply to your choice. If you want to keep the categories for the section. The problem I presume is still arises. Is there really a difference between a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old in the case? That's what I'm asking. So I think the question then is, should we not have this applying to all children? Child yeah. May not obey the may not obey the what we are saying is that what ABC should refer to is the trial. Shireen and Lawrence, do you would think? I think that the issue of the child justice. Okay, before child justice, okay, yeah, I'm just covered it. Peter covered it. Okay. Sorry. If we are deleting references to 83.1, there is no category. We need to make sure that the child justice
walk up. Okay. Can you just walk up?
85 appeals.
I also just mentioned that before I start to let the ACES data PA index laws have been changed in terms of the criminal law amendment act, the sentencing act, the age of 16, 14 is the age of 16, and the age of 18, you have to amend that one. Self-justified regulation, the appeal provides that the presiding officer in a child justice court must inform the child of his or her right to appeal. And the right to legal representation and the procedure to be followed in terms of the appeal. And the appeal is provided is done in terms of chapter 30 and that one of the criminal procedure. Where a child, and again it also refers to the categories in clause 83, where the child is below the age of 14 years, the child was at least 16 during the time of the sentence, but below the age of 16 and was not represented by any legal representation when he or she was convicted in a national court. And the child is sentenced to any form of imprisonment which is not wholly suspended, or he may not he may not appeal without having to apply for leave to appeal.
Anything can happen, but I tend to agree that is highly unlikely. But what I wanted to tell the committee here, this is really, we're taking this wording out of section 309 of the criminal procedure act. That was, as I said, it was put in when the appeal provisions of the criminal procedure act were amended in 2003. This is the wording that was used. These were captions, as Thunder said, I think in the paragraph B that had been increased from. The 14 has been increased to 16, and the 16 has been increased to 18, and I think that was done last year. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be very good.
On effect until 85. For the review. So I don't know if you can just check that. I might be wrong. But the submission basically is to the extent that then section 302, the clause 86 is more regressive than 302. And that's our objection.
And if you look at the input, then total.
The distinction between 16 and 18 and below 16?
Below 16 is
any child under 16 was automatically reduced. So they might get a 30% sentence, they might get a portion of reprimand, they might get a warning. So those get automatically reduced. And then the other category is any child sentence, which is a total sentence, but it's not 30%. So any child sentence for children is automatically reduced. Basically, what means it means then a 17-year-old can get a sentencing. A 17-year-old who gets a caution, a reprimand, is not going to be automatically reduced. And I think given the problem of resources, I don't know what Theo said, and I think that should be checked, but given the problem of resources, I don't see it being substantially adjusted for a underrepresented 17-year-old who is not sentenced to term of imprisonment, is not totally suspended, not being automatically reduced,
Then it automatically makes the regional court and the high court
for child justice?
I think that's the intention of the book. In any event, if it's not doing that, then we must revisit it.
So basically, we're saying every child may not waive their right to legal representation. Okay? Now, let's then come back to appeals and reviews. The restriction on the 16-year-olds is that they were not, they did not have legal representation. The 18-year-olds now. Now we're saying every child has to have legal representation. So what happens to that section? Jackie?
Yeah, sorry, I just realized the other point that we were supposed to make is that our concern with 86 is that it does talk about automatic review for 16 to 18 who did not have a legal representative. But our concern is that in certain instances where children are legally represented, the matter should still go on review, even though there was a legal representative. A number of matters have cases where there were legal representatives, if one has a look just at a sample of law reform judgments of the High Court that were taken on review, there were legal representatives, yet the court on review overturned a particular sentence despite the legal representative. So our concern is that, you know, it should apply both to children who are not represented and children who are represented, if one's looking purely at the sentence.
302 for everybody, for adults, is automatic review for if you've been longer than 3 months, if you're sentenced to prison longer than 3 months. So that's for everybody, legal representative or no legal representative. So I suppose the question then really is for children, why not bring it down to total imprisonment? So in other words, regardless, take out the restriction of having legal representative. At the moment it is, let's just deal with review. At the moment it is, any child under 16, automatic review, representative or no representative. But under 18, only automatic review if you got a sentence of imprisonment and you didn't have a legal representative. But 302, from what you've read, is automatic review as long as you've had a sentence of longer than 3 months for everybody. So why not the children have it? If you're sentenced to a term of imprisonment, you get automatic review, and you get automatic review. Is there a problem with that?
Can I just, you know, Jason is doing such a good job, and the movie starts at 5:45. So can't I just slip away, and then I will speak to Gigi tonight. He and I know each other from 1980.
No. We're wasting time.
I'm playing no role.
Okay.
Really.
All right. You can take over if you like.
No, that's not the point. You're doing really well. I don't want to take over.
All right. So 85 or 86. We are strongly recommending. We're strongly recommending that we're inclined to include automatic review to any child with a sentence to a term of imprisonment that wasn't wholly suspended, regardless of legal representation.
We just need to know what this is tracking. Remember that
same. No, we're then saying to the department to come back and tell us that you've got a problem with that.
Okay, I'd be more comfortable.
Okay. In principle, it tells.
Yeah, but the parameters are very clearly defined. We ain't having a long discussion within the narrow parameters.
Is there any automatic right to appeal for if you have a, I mean, is there an equivalent of 302 for appeal?
In appeals, you don't have to, as I said, this clause 85 looks like clause 309 dealing with appeals. That you can note an appeal without having to apply for leave to appeal for this category.
Why is Professor Scott Nielsen saying the current wording of 85 doesn't give a case for more aggressive wording of section 309? Professor Scott Nielsen, Jackie?
I'm actually not too sure.
Can we just check on that? You could lie it outside. Okay, 87, release on bail, pending review or appeal?
You see, Julian's not involved in this bill either. Kind of two of us are going to lose.
compile the rules of court within 9 months from the commencement of the act, and the rules regarding the implementation with respect to preliminary inquiries and with regard to legal representation, and that the rules must be published in the government gazette and approved by court.
I noticed that, unlike other parody listing, unlike other legislation, it's quite specific that the Rules Board put forward proposals and the minister then the minister must after consideration of the Rules Board
I think it's pretty straightforward what the committee was trying to do there, was to ensure that stuff is done.
92, extensive residence and residence facilities, we've done that. 93, liability for patrimonial loss.
Really piggybacking on the Criminal Procedure Act, if there are, and Section 97A sets out what happens if there, during, if there is any patrimonial loss during arising out of the performance of community service.
Okay, then 94 is the worst, a lot of comments about involving children with crime to be regarded as an aggravated circumstance. There were a whole lot of points raised by the NGOs there. Okay, can NGOs talk to 94? What is the problem?
Okay. I must admit, together with the problems, I don't agree with Professor Slotnyansky's assertion that this clause would amount to double jeopardy, given the fact that there is now an offence in the Children's Act. It's not an offence, it's dealing with aggravating circumstances. I think her concern stems from the fact that an adult might be charged with conspiracy or incitement within the Rights of Defending Act and then be subject to aggravating circumstances in terms of this, but he would also then need to be charged with the Children's Act as well, so that I don't think it's an issue, certainly.
And it's not sentencing, it's not about if a person is found guilty, then involving a child is an aggravating
thing. Jackie admits that there's the best argument he can support. He's not supposed to say that this argument. Then after we've all spoken, Jackie would say, yeah, he's probably not.
Jackie's like, with due concern, good time.
Which is all you got a movie day to.
Can I just raise that the clause in the Children's Act making it a crime to involve children in the commission of crime, shouldn't that be in this clause? Okay. And so you've got a one problem. And even though it's there, should we not repeat it, refer to it, or something like that, so that it's reasonable, Jackie?
There was originally in the 2002 version of the bill, there was an offence, sorry, the Law Commission version of the bill, there was an offence for adults who use children to commit an offence. When it went to the State Law Advisors in between Graham and the Department of Justice and coming here, they removed it and made aggravating circumstances. My understanding being that they said that there is already a category, you can use conspiracy, you can use incitement, you don't need a separate offence. I'm not too sure if that's correct.
Sorry, my point though is, it's a separate offence in terms of the Children's Act. Okay. So it's already there, we're not changing the law. And it just makes it easier to be there in this law. So can we not repeat that section or cross-reference it?
We'll do that.
Okay.
So just on a technical thing, it's not specifically, this is not the only thing. The actual offence in the Children's Act is which forms of child labour. So this is listed as one of the... So it's actually broader in the Children's Act. It also refers to trafficking, bonded labour and stuff. So.
But if the Children's Act says it is an offence to use children in the commission of crime, then shouldn't that be listed here so that you've got a one-stop look at it and then come back to it? All right, we dealt with 95.
You know, can I just say, I went to a night, that's not personal, it's not in crime, that's not personal guideline, I just very good and comprehensive. All you're going to do is ask about the NGO to
investigate.
Yeah, we did the aspect of it, right? In principle then, can you exactly now raise this issue? What is it? 95, what are you raising there?
It's not anything major. The main comments were in relation to the indicators. So the data collection indicators are 95, which is 95.2, which in C talks about those 10 issues. The one comment was is that basically the United Nations UNICEF has developed a standardized measurement for child justice data collection, and the recommendation was that it be that those to be aligned in relation to these particular data indicators. I do take the point that there's an integrated justice system that's been developed, and they might not have done that according to the UNICEF indicators. So that's just a suggestion. The other issue is in relation to training, include a national policy concerning training and specialization to include men with the legal profession. Mainly data collection. The other, we raised the issue that this, and that you're already dealing with the fact that prosecutorial guidelines in relation to diversion. And the only other thing is CSIR. There is in the NGO submissions some in certain places. References to crime prevention and a crime prevention strategy, which doesn't actually come out if you look at the clause by clause reading of the bill, but this was one of the areas which CSIR felt that you could ensure that there is some kind of a general crime prevention strategy could be addressed in clause 95.
Have a look at that and see what you can. Early on in the process, that we've got these intersectoral structures hidden away in the regulations, and we thought it might be a good idea to rather have them into the body of the law where they're not hidden away in regulations.
Can we move to 96? No, one or two practical things. You see, on the 6th, right, you've got all aspect versions of treatment and conditions of children while in detention at a preliminary inquiry or at a court. Are they in detention at a court or in a court? That's a really good thing to get it out of the way, too. The next time we will move past that, we're not supposed to really do it very right. And then, there are some things I love the way it's discussed now. And I love the idea of giving so much power to Parliament. But hey, what are we going to do with some of this stuff? For example, I love the way we discussed it now. I have my own reservations about six. The National Commission of the FHS must submit any national instructions contemplated in the subject to Parliament 30 days before they are issued. And what are we meant to do with it?
It basically, Chair, is method for dealing with delegated information. It gives Parliament the opportunity to raise concerns before the if Parliament chooses to do nothing, it does nothing.
Opportunity to find.
Okay, then that's fine, because often we don't do these things. Okay, if that's finished, then basically all we've got is the schedule. Can I tell you on the schedule?
I've got a note here about if it is possible for a clause about the list of probation officers to contact the
Yeah, we've agreed on that.
Got that.
Okay. Okay.
Then just before that, 96, 97, 98, we may have to have staggered implementation, depending on what.
Yeah. And 96, we obviously didn't reference the Charity Act. Did you, what do you think about this? We're not going to discuss it today, right? But what, can I just say something quickly? One is, there's some overlap. We need to deal with that. Two is, when the policies are resolved, we will have to look again at the schedule. So we're going to look now. Three is, even if we agree to some of the policies as they are in the 2007 version, we still feel that these schedules are to be simplified. There's two conferences on the list because fortunately,
as it is at the moment, we seem to be heading to schedules becoming important when it comes to
No.
I mean, if we have so many inquiries, everybody, the schedules become important, but I think it's becoming sensitive issues and diverse. Yeah, yeah. So, but I think the reason that this is kind of extremely complicated. The schedules and the criminal procedure act, those, why do we decide not to go for those?
I just don't think there was correlation in that to work or efforts in that field.
That categorization, I can't remember them offhand, that categorization of theories and their theory is fine. So why do we have a dual system? Why do we say these are the theories defined for children and these are the theories defined for somebody else? I don't know the answer, maybe it's a good reason. Okay. So that's scheduled up to schedule 6, appeals. How do we deal with that?
With the consequential amendment, are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about, we've said in schedule 1-5,
yes.
The categorization, we will deal with once we've taken the policy decision to do some inquiries.
I would suggest to do the consequential amendments at this stage would be pointless because what the changes that are going to come about in the bill are going to affect drastically what the amendments
that
are.
So it's just, I think that's they are generally consequential. I suppose it's a thing of, are they just consequential? Anything new that you.
We went through a similar process with the sexual offences and they were just consequential, but as I said, I really think that this needs to be dealt with right at the end of the process.
All right. Okay, that was, you want to finish up five?
Okay, now basically, in our method, one is members of the committee of home, you've got a copy of the document on the budget. The next time you go into Parliament, it will be Tuesday the 6th, the whole day you sit on the budget and they will sell. Yeah, Tuesday the 6th and Wednesday the 10th. And then we have a public hearing on the week after Tuesday the 13th on the Supreme Court vote. And we have a public hearing on the first hearing of court vote on the 20th. And the DSO vote, I'm told, will probably get passed by mid-May.
Yeah, I mean, the constitutional amendment will come beginning of June 6th. We will not be able to pass it.
That's why they're the floor process.
Yeah. I see on the parliamentary program that they've got a provisional date in the 6th of May for the jurisdiction of that region. Are we going to finish that in time?
No, they have told them 1,000 times we can't do it, but they want to listen to it. Can you tell them?
Yeah.
Now,
sorry?
Yeah, you see,
what's the process of starting?
Yeah, very quickly, our meeting is on the 13th of June. So within 48 hours of that, we will report back to the party in the Senate, and we will tell you what we want, and then we will decide on a date to call you back. At this stage, we are at the mercy of safety and security portfolio committee, who are at the mercy of the government as to when they bring the vote on child justice. I'm not on DSO. The other thing to say is that Julian is going to work with us. He seems to be strong. Julian and I will have a meeting. I don't know when. May come back to take some of the restrictions. But if I have to, I'll come. But we will have to find some time where we meet to discuss who does what. But for now, Julian's going to take responsibility for the judicial court. And if we do it, customary position. And very quickly, I'll speak to you.
So you just put it on the charger. You've got the meeting,
Yeah, but I would prefer that we actually have that meeting first and then clarify things, because we want to make it very, very clear. I want to go on record and say, this bill is in Parliament. And can I repeat this? This bill is in Parliament. And once we are clear as a political party, and there seems to be very little difference between us and the ACDP, we have no time for your senior to become Parliament. You want to go directly to Parliament. Give you all the process back because of your principles and stuff. We take the bill away from you, and we look at on that, is there any questions? No, we haven't got the time. Okay, any point? You answer the vote to Parliament. Okay? Once the bill is here, it's in Parliament. Right, probably that's clear. Now the next thing. I just need to speak to those on the following thing. What? I know you're going to get a stupid bill. The unstructured, I can't vote, so it makes no difference to me. I'll never make it. So you sit here. One is that we are expecting the following thing to be different. There's too much on you. So we're going to discuss maybe which will you do. But 15 is going to come back with us to assist us with the report on the budget. It has to be done within 10 to 12 days because we have to adopt the report in the committee before the debate on the 29th. Two is we've had the annual report of OPP, Office of Public Protector, annual report of the NPA. That has to come by July. Right? Three is that we have the DSO bill. And we're hoping that you will play some role in that. Four is that it's a partial matter of standing. If you can play some role, it's fine. Otherwise, you hand over to period. Now, to be some is an ANC person, let's see. But in previous committees, the other party hasn't minded where he plays some role. Because you can decide for yourself the value of what he's playing. He's not a lawyer, but he can do some work as well. So we shall meet and allocate responsibilities. But we also have to visit your one-stop, what? Yeah. So it's a two-day thing. What I'm suggesting is, if we left on a Sunday night, Monday we do one, and Tuesday we do another, and we're in Parliament by Tuesday evening. That sounds fun. So can I look for a date when we can go? We're not going to wait till you come back. If the DSO bills don't work out, then we can start with the Child Justice Bill by mid-January. So, mid-June, sorry. Before that, we have to be forceful. So I would say mid-June is the earliest we'll deal with the bill again in phase two, and the latest is first week of August. Anything else you want to say? JJ, do you have anything to say? Is that it? Okay, I thank all of you, especially the people who came from under the front. Jesse, you can go and celebrate. Thank you. Bye, and done.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.